Okay, what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99, and excuse me. Today, I have a special guest in the house, a young fighter that I'm a fan of. You know, to me, she's probably one of the hardest working fighters I know today. You know, she goes to school full time, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and she trains full time. She was also the winner of the Invicta FC Phoenix Flyweight Tournament Series, and you know. Hey, she's just getting started. I have Miranda Fear, the Maverick, in the house with me today. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited.
Oh, no problem. So you just told me you're pretty busy. So, you know, I won't keep you too much. So, you know, just kind of want to kick it with you, talk a little bit about your career, you know, kick it off. Just let everybody know how you got into mixed martial arts.
I pretty much started jiu-jitsu at 16, almost 17 years old. Started for self-defense purposes primarily. Went in, and within a couple weeks, I kind of knew I wanted to be a competitor more so. My dad had taught me the basics leading up to going to an official gym. And I went in there and was beating juveniles at first, joined the adults team, I guess you would say, within a couple weeks. And then decided I was going to switch gyms when I decided I wanted to do competition. And MMA kind of came around after I had been doing jiu-jitsu already for a while. And I went to some amateur fights and saw the first women's fight I had ever seen live, and decided that I thought that was embarrassing the way that the fight had went. And I thought I could do better. And my coaches were like, don't say anything until you've gotten punched in the face. And me being a farm girl and everything else, I was like, I've been a lot worse than punched in the face. I would be fine. And as soon as I turned 18, I moved to Springfield, Missouri for school. I moved like an hour and a half there for school and was within 2 miles of my gym and started training every single day. And I trained striking for only a couple or a few weeks, I guess, and then had my first amateur fight. And I told myself that if I won that fight, and I ended up liking the feeling of hitting somebody, I would fight and be the best I could ever be. And then I told myself if I lost or I didn't like it, like maybe I was like, oh, too nice, or didn't like hitting a girl, I would never fight again. So went in there, won, was like blacked out in terms of I had no idea what had happened afterwards. I just knew I had won and I loved it. And then I ended up having 8 amateur fights within a year. Got a call from Shannon Knapp right before I turned 19. I think it was the week before. So I met my dream of turning pro before I turned 19 years old.
Okay, cool. That was just kind of like a very fast move, right? It was just like skyrocketing right there.
Yep, basically.
Let me ask you this though. Like, how was it the first time you did get punched in the face? Like, I come from a boxing background and like, you know, I just like that first time it happened, it's kind of like, for me, it was just kind of, wow, this ain't exactly what you expected from just like from training to actually sparring or getting in the ring.
True. It wasn't necessarily the ring. So I train with a bunch of guys.
Oh, okay.
And so that makes a huge difference, I think, being the smallest person in the room most of the time. Like, I had been at home and played around with my dad and stuff, so I had gotten hit a little bit. That wasn't a big deal.
Okay, yeah.
But the second I went into actual sparring and we put on not boxing gloves, that was one thing. But when we put on MMA gloves and I felt that first, like, knuckles against my chin, I was like, whoa, this is different. You know, this hurts a lot worse. And actually, when I got into the cage and got punched the first time, I was like, wait a minute. Like, before that, I was so scared of punches. I know that sounds ridiculous, but like my smallest training partners were 180, like 180 pounds. And so I went into the cage for the first time and got punched by a 125 pound girl. And I was like, oh, that felt like a pillow. Like, what was that? You know, coming at my face. And from then on, like, you can look at my amateur career. Most of them were finished in the first round and I never even knew striking. Like, I didn't even do anything other than take people down and submit them. Which was an issue at the first part of my career because I needed to learn striking along with it once I got to the upper levels. So I had to play catch up a little bit. But I got to where I was like, these punches don't even hurt.
Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you this. You know, I'm still a person, you know, I'm a big fan of mixed martial arts, but I've never like rolled or been on the mat. But like for you, from like going from wrestling to transitioning to something like BJJ, like, what's the big difference? What was the big difference in that?
Being willing to go to your back. And I know that more so, honestly, from seeing guys transition. And I think there's a false sense of my wrestling background. I think a lot of people hype up that I wrestled and this and that. In all reality, I started jiu-jitsu first, and I'm really not a wrestler that much. I've been on a wrestling team. I was on a college wrestling team, but all I did really was practice with them. Mm-hmm. Not at their level. I didn't get into the college phenom. Simply more of a promotional standpoint. The coach was a very helpful person and liked MMA and liked me and decided that, you know, if I wanted to get work in and stuff in the team. Because by that point, I was already a pro. NCAA rules aren't even allowed. Could have. So I got a lot of wrestling work in, but it was more along the lines of I started with jiu-jitsu. But from seeing that other men coming from a wrestling background at very high levels, I noticed that jiu-jitsu is a very big struggle for them because of their back, getting to their back.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. That's a helpful tip for me because I'm getting older, but just as like maybe like a hobby or something to get into something new, I was thinking about actually, you know, going and taking BJJ. So I just wanted like little insight on it. What for somebody who's never done it before, like, how would you expect me or anybody else to go into it? Like just going in with a free mind or?
Very free mind. Be ready to have your ego checked. Just leave your ego at the door. That's the whole quote, you know. Come in there and just be knowing that there's so much to learn. And you can basically never learn enough in jiu-jitsu. And go in there, like expect to tap. Like I tell people when they first start, I'm like, if it hurts, tap. Even if it's embarrassing that you tap from pressure or whatever, like you don't want to get hurt. If you don't know the difference between pressure and my arm's about to break, then tap. And also, like a lot of times when guys come in and act like they have an ego, that's when you get hurt worse. Like I know that my coach in the past and currently, if there's a bigger dude, especially, and he comes in there and thinks he's tough and thinks he's going to beat up people, I'll be the first person he rolls with. Because I'm the smallest female in the room and my coach would be like, go ruin his life, you know, basically. And the ones who want to actually learn stick around. And the ones who are in there because they think they can already fight and want to show off that they're tough, don't stick around.
Okay. And 10 times out of 10, you usually submit those guys, right? You get them
probably
out.
Probably 9 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah. Again, like for me, like I said, yeah, I already kind of wanted to go in it with that mindset because, like I said, I'm not familiar with anything on the ground. So I said, I'll definitely go in there not thinking I can just go in there and do anything big. Like when you actually get into that moment when you're like down on the mat and you got somebody in submission, is there a time you just like want to? You get really like hyped and you just like hold on to somebody, even if it happened. Do you ever get like that type of adrenaline rush?
I definitely have not. And I think that's honestly due to the whole MMA background. And also I train all the time in competitive settings.
Yeah.
So because I do that going into competition at this point, like after the first, even few fights, I don't even feel anxious anymore or worried or anything like that. The adrenaline gets a hold of me in MMA fights only, like jiu-jitsu matches. And I get made fun of for it all the time, but I'll be napping about 10 seconds before they call my name onto the mats. And then they call my name and I'm like, oh, okay. And I go up, slap hands and do jiu-jitsu. Because for me, it's such a big variance. Like MMA is way over here at this extreme of you're getting punched in the face, your life's in danger, like anything could happen. They head kick you, you're done. And then jiu-jitsu, it's like this slower, the gentle art, you know. And mind you, it's still aggressive. It's still a very competitive sport, but it's just so different. I'm not getting punched in the face. I'm not having to worry about, oh, my orbital bone might break in a couple of seconds. Like, it's pretty controlled, you know, and there's referees just right there the whole time. So for me, it's just so low intensity in comparison to my fights. I only get anxious a little bit in, like, big competitions for jiu-jitsu, like maybe Pans or Worlds. But even then, like as soon as I get a submission, I'm really good about just holding and being like, you're gonna tap. And I've controlled broke 4 girls' arms, I think, easily. And like I'll be there and I'll just be like, are you gonna tap? But it's never like a violent, I'm just gonna break your arm. It's just slowly, and if they don't want to tap, I'm gonna do what I need to do. But in those instances, going in as a newer person too, if you were interested, when you start competitions, think about like risk versus reward. A lot of people are like, I'll die in there, you know? And I'm like, don't do that. Like, especially jiu-jitsu competitions, when people get their arms broke and stuff, I'm like, you didn't get paid for that. In fact, you probably had to pay to get into that tournament. They're not covering insurance. They're not doing any of that. So you better have some good insurance and not care about your work the next day.
Wow. Wow. Thanks for that information. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff that, you know, I've never really thought about. But yeah, you think when I've seen these like little tournaments, when I look them up on YouTube, I notice like the atmosphere is different. It's almost like watching a chess match. You know, yeah. It's like there's nobody hype. There's no crowds going too wild. It just seems like everybody's just focused on watching who can tap first. You know, there's really no like big adrenaline rush going on. So, and I see a lot of MMA fighters going over there during like their, you know, off times. They're actually getting in like rounds. It seems like they're getting a lot of training by going to these tournaments. That's pretty true, right?
I find that pretty true. Once you get into the really high levels, like UFC, it becomes a little bit more dangerous for them to go do jiu-jitsu on the side. However, like especially at mine, we do it all the time. And I know a lot of UFC fighters who do that. I will say the adrenaline part that you mentioned, the slow chest game, at the higher levels, it does get more adrenaline. It does get more exciting just because that's what they do. I mean, they're making money, some of them, at the higher levels. So like Gordon Ryan, for instance, Nicky Rudd, like all of them, they get really hyped up and go in there and kick butt. But they're also making hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, while they're at it. And that's something to get hyped up about. But yeah, I know a lot of fighters that go on the edge and do it. I think it's actually a very healthy thing to do. I try to get as many competitions under my belt as I can during off time. Obviously not right now because of COVID, but usually just because I don't want to go into the cage with any kind of nervousness. And if I've already had this competitive mindset the whole 2 months or whatever I'm out of the fight game, then there's no worries whatsoever. And I know it also gives me confidence. Like when I go through and win a bunch of competitions, I'm like, oh, I just beat a tournament with a bunch of black and brown belts and I'm only a purple belt. I'm going to do fine.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. Speaking of COVID, since you brought that up, like for you right now, how's your training been going? Like just regular training? Have you been doing a lot of training?
I've been doing a lot of training compared to what a lot of other people are getting to do, I would say. Mm-hmm. But it is less intense and less time. Like usually on a typical day, I would train at least 4 or 5 hours a day with cardio and everything. And right now it's probably on average a couple hours a day. And then I'm teaching on the side. I'm doing privates when I can, but we're just doing them like at home garages. We're opening the gym a little bit just for a private here and there. But most of my training is like pad work or just rolling with a couple guys that I know from the gym. But I'm still getting work. And then on weekends, I've been going down and helping a couple other fighters down in North Carolina. Actually, shout out Hannah Cyphers is getting ready to fight Mackenzie Dern on May 30th. And I've been working with Hannah religiously the past month or two, trying to make sure she's ready for this fight. So I'm excited for that. But that's been giving me really good work about 3 days a week. I go down there and train for several hours a day.
Okay. I'm actually in North Carolina, and I think, yeah, one time, I think you came to Durham and did one of the
I did Toro Cup a couple times.
Okay, yeah, because I remember I was actually seeing a poster of that. You know, they had all the people up there. I saw you up there. I was like, oh, I would like to came out and seen y'all. I think Hannah Cyrus was out there once, but I was working, so.
Okay, but, gotcha. But I did those. Durham's really nice. They have some good gyms out there, kind of in the middle of nowhere, I guess you'd say it, for my perspective. And they have some really good gyms out there.
Oh, yeah. They do boxing gyms as well. You know, they were holding a lot of local boxing events out here, too. But, so, you know, UFC's kind of been kicking off. You know, we had a card last week. We actually got one tonight. Are you watching the one tonight?
I am probably watching the one tonight. I'm trying to set up plans.
Okay, so we got one on Saturday, got one on the 23rd. What are your thoughts on the UFC, you know, starting back up?
I think my perspective is kind of pretty conservative on that stuff. I think that we should have been starting it up from the very beginning of this. I don't think it ever should have been shut down. Mm-hmm. Within safety precautions, I don't see any reason why there can't be fights or stores open or anything else for that matter. Mm-hmm. And it's really hurt a lot of people's careers. Like I know for me personally, I've had many, many opportunities now just ripped out of my hands throughout this corona thing. I would have been a lot further along at this point. So it's pretty like saddening, frustrating, gets kind of to where it's very unmotivating. Like there's some days I'm just like, why am I even training? Like, what's the point? Probably won't have a fight for 6 months. Why am I even doing this? And then I'll get a call and it'll give me some hope and then it'll get turned down again. So this has all been really frustrating, but I'm glad that the UFC is kind of making the headlines doing this, and hopefully it'll encourage others to open up. I know a lot of others, they're at least setting dates for their first events, amateur shows, pro shows, all of it. Invicta specifically is at a standstill as far as I know, and for me especially, because the next girl I'm supposed to fight is all the way down in Brazil, and
Oh, really?
last I knew, they aren't gonna fly her anytime soon up here, so.
Okay. And just a little side question with having this downtime, like how does that affect fighters mentally, do you think? Like some of these fighters who had a card going, then all of a sudden it gets pushed back and then they're not sure, there's a question mark on it, then it's on again. Like, how do you think it messes with them as far as like getting ready for a fight mentally?
Well, I think there's a few of us that are in that situation, and I think for that it's very difficult. Like it's hard to even explain until you've been in there doing it. Like we work every day, all day, mentally, and most of the day training to prepare for these 15-minute moments max that you see on TV, right? And sometimes they last 30 seconds, and we're like, whew, months of work. This many hours of work, and I went in there and it's done now. And it's almost a relief no matter what the outcome is. For me, anyway, that's how I picture it because I just so much work, so much work. And then you go back the next day and you get started again. And in your mind, telling a fighter no, and then yes, and then no, and then yes is like redoing a fight camp in our mind every single time. And it's so tiring, so physically and mentally exhausting. Every time you go into the gym and you're like, I don't even know if this is going to matter. Like I have to go through Hell Week again, and that's like so terrible. It's the worst thing ever, Hell Week. And then especially I feel so bad for the fighters who were getting ready to fight when this COVID hit. They had the weight cut, they did everything. And then to find out that a paycheck just got ripped out of their hands. And for a lot of people, that's their only and primary income that they're feeding their families with. So, I mean, it sucks. And then there's the other aspect of fighters where some of them have injuries, some of them needed a break, some of them were fighting so often their body was just breaking up and they were getting like exhausted from it mentally too. And I think it helped them. Maybe it gave them a time to reset, time to be like, all right, we're fighters. Like I understand the thing of I don't need a break. I'm fine. It's just pain. Push through it. Like I'm hurt, but it'll heal eventually. When it doesn't heal eventually, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And maybe this COVID has given people that have that situation time to recover.
Okay. And so that kind of answers my question though. I was gonna ask you, would you fight in this time? If Invicta had a couple of dates for you, would you head and
I'd
sign?
fight any of them. I've taken 3 fights since this COVID has started, and they just haven't panned out, unfortunately. I'm still waiting to hear back about contender possibly, but so far we haven't found any opponents that are working out.
Okay. So yeah, let's jump back to the Invicta Phoenix tournament. Again, I never got a chance to actually congratulate you, but congratulations on
Thank
that.
you.
I'm a big fan of Invicta. I've been watching it since it started back in 2012, and I like these tournaments just because I feel like it really gives an opponent or a real contender the chance to fight the best. I'm all about the best fighting the best, when I'm watching something, and I think it makes perfect matches. But my question to you is going into this tournament, I just had to ask you this because even when Tanisha Tennant, she won the bantamweight one recently, it's like I can kind of pick the winner before it even starts. Like during that first fight, it's like I can kind of tell like the fighter how they're going in there mentally, how they're actually trying to fight smart. Like, what was your game plan in there? Was that all you just like going in there, making sure that you fought the right fights and fought at a good pace? Did the team have like a big input on that?
I mean, everybody had an input on it. My dad, my team, myself. And obviously things change in the cage. And I think that's something with the whole getting my PhD, that kind of thing. If I could rate one thing that I have above a lot of other fighters, I think it's that adaptability. I feel like I have a lot of adaptability within the cage. I can see what I need to do, change it up to win a fight, basically. And for me, my plan going into that tournament, I kind of said it within the interviews for Invicta, I didn't even think about the first two being fights. Didn't even give a crap about them. I just cared about the end fight. I was like, that's the only real fight I have tonight. And that's it. That's the only fight I have. So these other two, get a takedown, and boom, you just won. That's it. Just get one takedown, win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, like, the only thing that kind of, like, I really didn't care what opponent I got. I knew that game plan would work no matter who. Like, there were a couple good wrestlers, I guess. There was, like, Liz Tracy. She was just known for the grappling side of things.
Yeah.
I felt like my strength was much more than hers. Like, I didn't see a problem, even if we went to the ground with her. Deanna Bennett was probably going to give me the biggest run for my money of anybody. And there were a couple wild cards in there, like Deanna Turquato. Like, I had no idea what she was going to bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like had confidence. And so Deanna, I was like, we saw what happened in my first fight with her, but it was to the point, like, I watched our first fight. I had learned from that so much and grown so much throughout that year. I was like, there's no way she can ever beat me again. That will never happen.
Yeah.
And she was one of the biggest threats in my mind. So I was like, why am I even worried about this? Just go in there and win the fights. And in the back of your mind, there's always the money, the rewards, all that. And I was like, for me, I walk into the cage knowing that that's my life. That's my dream. I'm getting ready to go in there and achieve. If I win that tournament, I pay off this debt. I get to do this. I get to do that. And, like, it was just in my mind the whole time. So the first part of getting to pick your opponents randomly, like, I tried to just put that out of my mind. Like, I didn't care who I was going in against. But when Victoria got called, we just literally laughed at weigh-ins because I just got done cutting weight with her and her team.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we're friends, not like super close friends, but like within the fight world, we had already fought once. She's a really good person. Her husband was like helping me with weight cuts and stuff, 'cause I didn't have anybody there to help me yet. And we got up there and I was like, of course this would happen. We're fighting twice now. And then the second person was Shanna Young, and I couldn't ask for a better opponent. I was literally like telling my dad in my corners in the back, I was like, do you know how lucky I'd be if I get Shanna, blah, blah, blah. And that sounds bad, but I think the styles clashed so much that I was just so confident with it. Like, she was a lot more of a striker. Like, she didn't have ground game. And in my opinion, it's a lot easier to be good at ground game than it is to be good at striking in the MMA world. Because you get taken down once, what are you going to do? You know?
True.
And I remember in the fight, she hit me, but not really. I fell over. I, like, got unbalanced, whatever it was. I, like, kicked her, and I think she hit me at the same time, and I fell backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing the crowd, like, ooh, and I was like, ah. That looked like crap. I was like, I didn't even get hit, you know, but I got imbalanced. So I took her down and then ended up rear naked choking her. And
oh,
in
yeah.
that second fight, my biggest goal was to finish that as fast as I could. Because I was like, I want a bigger break than Deanna. I just mm-hmm. knew that she was going to beat Deanna. Like, in my own mind, I was like, watch this. I literally had called her from the beginning. I said, me and Deanna are going to make it to finals, and I'm going to get my revenge. Like, that was my whole thing. I was like, I'm going to show that I've improved as a fighter. And that ended up happening. Because they were like, if there was anybody in this tournament to fight, who would you want to fight? And I was like, Deanna. But I don't want to fight her in the first. I don't want to fight her in the second. Because all that takes is for somebody to be like, yeah, well, we already saw what happened in a 3-round fight. She beat your butt, you know.
Right.
And I was like, nah, I'm not doing that. I want a full fight with her. And then we got to finals, and I won with that neck crank, and I just loved it. It was a great feeling, and obviously I got better known throughout it all, and I already thought that I should be a little bit higher up, but I think that was a very smart decision to do the tournament and kind of show where everybody stood, get their contender up there. And the frustrating part about it was, one, the way that they only counted one fight as a fight.
Mm-hmm.
The final one. And two, the fact that I had to fight Pearl afterwards. I was so mad.
Just telling me, so you were on your side trying to get a title shot, right? You guys were working on that, correct?
Right. Like, we were trying to get a title shot as soon as I finished the tournament. And then, of course, I had to fight Pearl next. So now I am up for the title.
Okay. Well, that's good because, after that tournament, I thought that was supposed to lead straight to one. And then also you said that those fights only equal one fight, really, right? Just the last fight.
Yep.
Okay.
Which was unfair to me, in my opinion. However, it was more unfair to Deanna Bennett. So she has a loss on her record. None of the other girls have a loss on their record. So it makes it look like she got beat by six other girls. When in reality, she beat all of them, but they don't have anything to show for it. So it doesn't matter. She just has a loss on her record after beating two other people.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, that might be a little kink that kind of needs to be fixed. Because, I think that's not really fair in the long run when you think about it.
And then it's even more not fair because the first one, the 115-pound tournament that they had, every fight counted.
Really?
Yeah. So the way that they tried to change it, because they were like, well, we're still trying to figure it out too. So Shannon and Angie and them told me, they were like, well, if it's for a title shot, like it's for an actual belt at the end of the tournament, like the 115-pound was because it was vacant, then we'll count them. I was like, that's an interesting decision. And then the 135-pound one, in my opinion, like I was commentating for that with TJ actually afterwards on his show.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the fights and paid really close attention to them, and full honesty, I wasn't very impressed. However, it was because these were new fighters. I think the most experienced person on there had three fights as a pro. And so they were basically just trying to get a foothold in the division. I think the 135-pound division in Invicta was getting pretty thinned out, so to speak. And they were trying to find who their next, people were to kind of put them in line and see who was worth fighting against. And Tanisha Tin, I think it was the one that won, right?
Yeah.
And she was basically like, I think I deserve a title shot after this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hold your horses, calm down. Like, you beat some pro debut people. Mm-hmm. Calm down. But all of them have been very interesting in the way that it was scored, to say the least.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully soon, your next fight, would you be ready for a title shot next fight? Would you have to take a quick fight in between?
Oh no, I'd be ready for a title shot right away. I'd rather skip the whole title and go straight to the UFC, which is what was happening, but we'll see if that happens or not.
Okay. Well, another question I have for you. When you stay in the gym a lot, it seems like you're staying in there, getting work in. Do you always try your best to, even when you're not fighting, to stay close to your fighting weight? And how important is that for you?
So close to fighting weight is different than close to weight cut. So I fight at 125. Mm-hmm. My typical walk around is 142 to 145.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I'm in prime shape. I'm at 142. That's me in fight camp getting ready to cut weight. Right now I'm weighing 146, 147. So I'm a little bit above the bubble, not eating as healthy as I could be. But it's also still within 3 weeks I could make 125. I'm not out of shape by any means. I think a lot of fighters make a really bad decision when they decide to blow up an extra, even 10 pounds can be hard, but an extra, I've seen people 20, 25 pounds over and they're like, well, I don't have anything coming up. And I'm like, yeah, I guess you won't have anything coming up. Let's hope nobody calls for a short notice. I'm kind of disappointed in myself over quarantine. I wanted to be ready to bump in at a 2 week notice. And for that, I need to be at 142 ish. So I'm starting a new meal prep plan and stuff like that this week, but I'm never close to actual fight weight. If that was the central part of the question, by the time I step into the cage, I'm already back to at least 138, 140.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a better way of putting it, far as how you put it, staying around
So I definitely cut weight. I cut weight pretty hard for a girl.
Okay. So big question I want to ask you here. Like I said, you go to school full time, you go in the octagon and you put everything you got into it, you put 100% into it. Like I said, you came out on top as a winner of the tournament too. How do you stay motivated you know, going from one to the next, going from classes to gym and vice versa?
Well, I manage it through planning, but like scheduling and stuff constantly. But as far as motivation goes, I see them all as an ends to a means. Like my work is an ends to a means, being going to school an ends to a means, and even fighting, even though it's my dream and my hobby, like I enjoy doing it, obviously, is still an end to a means. Like, what am I actually fighting for? You know, and at the end of it, all of those have to combine into the same main goal, or else it makes that 10 times harder to keep up with. So for me, like, I want to buy property near my family's place. I want to be able to build a house that's nice. I want to be able to basically have my future set to where I'm secure and don't have to depend on other people. I want to be self-sufficient, you know, like as far as like literally have solar power on my place. I want to have stored up food, like that kind of thing. I want that in my future. And right now I'm basically a kid. Like I don't have any of that right now. I'm saving up money and stuff so that I can make that into tangible things later. But right now, every time I fight, I'm like, okay, this is one more step to that. Okay, this is another step to that. And it's the same way with school. I'm like, once I get my degree, all this could come true so fast. And I'd say that's the hardest motivation for me because I like fighting. At least I like fighting. Mm-hmm. I go in there, I go to training every day in the gym. I'm more happy in the gym than anywhere right now, except for home with my family, but I'm not home with my family. So I go into the gym. That's more my release. That's where my social life is. That's everything. Cause people are like, what? How do you have a social life? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't. The gym is my social life. Like I get to talk to people. It's people I'm interested in. Like, they have the same interest as me, so it works out. But when I'm at school, I hate school. I can't stand school. Everything, people are like, well, you must really like school. You're in it. You're doing so good. And I'm like, no, the reason I'm doing good is because I hate it. Like I tell myself every day, I'm like, if you're going to be here, if you're going to be forced to be in school, if you have to be here to achieve your goals, you might as well be the best at it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how my mindset is in all things in life. Like, make yourself miserable for a temporary period so that you can achieve greatness.
Yeah, that's good advice. Cause like I hated school too, and I wanted to get out. I was like, I'm not failing because I don't want to stay here an extra year, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good advice. But going back to you saying social life, yeah, going to the gym is social life. Like going to a club, that doesn't necessarily mean that's your social life. Going to a gym, you're interacting with people and you're doing something you like. So that's social life, you know?
Yep.
And yeah, you pretty much answered this question too. I was gonna ask you about the UFC. So shoot, if they called you today to go straight to them and take a fight, I'm sure your answer is yes. But
100%. I've said yes to them many times throughout the past 2 months. I think I've said yes 3 times, and that's just not something happens. COVID took an opportunity right out of my hands. It was supposed to happen like the weekend that we all went.
Right.
But and, I don't know how much I'm allowed to disclose, so I'll just put it at that.
Okay. So I'm looking at their flyweight rankings right now. Is there anybody in there where you just say like, man, that's the first fight I'd like to go ahead and take, you know, take that person out. I can make a statement fighting that person.
Really any of them. Like I would be so excited to fight anybody. Mm-hmm. I would fight Roxy. I would fight Macy. Even Jennifer Maya's pretty high in the rankings. And I think I could go in there and do really well against her. Like I look at the top 10 even, and I'm like, like I've watched a lot of the flyweight fights, and that's part of the reason, like, well, I'm changing subjects a little bit, but I watch them and I'm ready to fight any one of them. I watch a lot of the fights and I'm like, I could have beat that. What was that? What the hell was that? Like, what is this? Like, just a lot of mistakes I see within it. I think I'm at that level by far. So when I get called for things like the Contender Series, for instance, it's not a, I wouldn't say an insult. And right now it's an opportunity because nothing else is going on. But typically I'm like, why do I have to get to the Contender Series to prove myself? Like, I'm already top of like the second, like Invicta, which is a big promotion within itself. That's the feeder basically directly to the UFC. All right. They want me to fight on the Contender just to decide if I'm good enough. Like, I just beat two of the UFC veterans. Mm-hmm. Like, is that not good enough? I just demolished one of them and the other one I've beat now. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
So it's really frustrating.
Yeah, I can see that's frustrating because it's like I've always seen the contender and Invicta as just like two pathways going to the same thing. You know, I didn't see it as one level being the, over the other because, like, a while back, you know, they had the girls from Invicta go to the Tough House. It was like 2014. You know, they went from Invicta to Tough House and they were automatically in the UFC. So, you know, I thought that's the kind of situation you would have been in. You know, you beat this tournament, it should be going from there to there. Because, yeah, definitely, you know, I'm not just saying that because you hear there are a lot of women in the flyweight division UFC. I could see you handling. You know, I could definitely see you making some easy work of. You know, honestly, Macy Barber, if she comes back after this injury, that's definitely a fight I would like to see. You know, so definitely, definitely.
I would definitely have fun with that fight. So.
Oh yeah. But yeah, before we do go, I mean, you answered pretty much most of my questions. I don't want to hold you up, but. What are some things you do like to do outside of when you're not in school and you're not fighting? Like, what's some pastimes you like to do? Country girl, farm girl, anything like that?
Yeah, basically. So I like to go home as much as I can, and obviously with school right now, like that's pretty rough, but I do go back home. We have a farm, a ranch, however you want to put it, and we have beef cattle. And I go and just help with the chores, spend time with my siblings. We go for hikes a lot. We'll go out and have like a weenie roast and just camp out, basically. I love doing that. I love like writing on the side. You can like go on my Instagram, and I have like the little poetry that's beneath my pictures. Like I usually write that stuff. I don't steal it from anybody. So that's always just been a random pastime that I have. I also draw. I do pencil sketches and stuff. If you ever see those on there, I've had my own art business since I was like 11, which has obviously gone to the wayside right now since I'm fighting and doing school. But I guess those are pretty much it. I do art a little bit and then farm at home and stuff. Every time I go home, I get made fun of now. I'm the smallest sibling by far. My brother and sister both wrestle. They'll be coming up soon. Hopefully, my sister thinks she wants to fight, but we'll see.
Okay. Smallest
And
but the strongest, right?
my sister is stronger than me. My
Oh,
brother
really?
is gonna beat my butt. So we're all kind of farm raised. Like it's crazy. I went home and my sister was like, arm wrestle with me, arm wrestle with me. And I was like, okay, you know, and I arm wrestle it. She beat me up. I was like, what is this? She's 16 years old, so it's pretty impressive. But I just go home, I play with them. It's a different world. Like we don't live on like a little farm where you go out and you feed the dog and the cat. Like we go out and take buckets and buckets of feed that you have to carry around. It's like actual farmer carries, you know, all the time, 24/7. We rough house harder than any rough housing I've ever seen in families' homes. Like we have little mats, like a 10 foot by like 10 foot of mats set up on concrete in our shed. And we'll just go in there and just throw each other around on these like inch thick mats. And I'm like, it's a miracle nobody's died. I don't
Anybody
know.
ever get like really mad or just like really getting competition when y'all play fight?
I mean, we just play fight. I don't know if we've ever like we'll get my dad's like a big guy and he can kick all of our butts at once pretty much still. And we have never been allowed to hit each other. That's the only thing. Like if I were to fight with my siblings, I would obviously win no problem, but no hitting, no kicking. We just wrestle and do jujitsu. And it gets pretty intense sometimes. There's definitely last time I went home, I won't even wrestle with my brother anymore hardly. Because he doesn't know his own strength or size yet, and he'll hurt me.
And
So,
might wind up pulling out of a fight date.
exactly. I'm like, I'll be like, I make money. You can't do this.
Exactly,
Don't hurt me.
that's funny. But hey, thanks for coming on today. But before we do go, is there anything else you want to tell your fans, let them know how you're doing and what's going to be coming up for you? Just want to let
Yeah,
them
so just be looking on me, especially or looking for me on all the social media outlets. I'll keep you guys updated on fights. Changes every week, so I've just been really careful about posting anything until something's confirmed. Hopefully, you guys are all staying safe and doing good during this COVID-19. Can get back at it soon. I'm hoping work starts up and stuff, so I'm not unemployed anymore. And can get some money fighting. In addition, though, keep an eye out on my social media stuff. Go support your local businesses if you can. I've been trying to have a lot of my local sponsors and smaller businesses, giving them as much support as I can. So make sure you guys are doing the same, and try to buy from big corporations or go into the big grocery stores and stuff if the smaller ones are open. That's just a little advice. They're the ones hurting, not the big ones right now.
Okay. And speaking of your social media, I want to give that out, where to follow you at?
Yeah, Instagram is @fearthemaverick_HOMT. You can basically just look up my name on anything. It's Miranda Maverick. I think I'm the only one of them out there. Who knows? Facebook is Miranda, in quotations, Fear the, and the Maverick. And then Twitter is @fearthemaverick. So just look me up. I'm always trying to keep it pretty active on there. If you ever want to start a conversation, just message me. As long as it's not inappropriate or dirty, I typically respond. So.
Yeah, keep it clean, y'all.
please keep it clean. You're gonna piss me off, and then I won't respond ever. So, and also, I just to mention, side note, if you are watching, if you're a coach at a gym, a trainer, an owner of a gym, or you're a pro fighter, I'm doing my thesis going over participants that ascertained to that. So if you would send me your emails over any messages or contact me, you can be a participant in that survey so that I can do research over the hardships that gyms are going through right now.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll send that on my Instagram and let people know for you too as well.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
But yeah, thanks again for coming on. And anytime you want to, you know, just drop by, you know, give out some information, you know, about a fight coming up, or, you know, hey, don't be a stranger.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Take care.
Bye. Hi guys, I'm Miranda Maverick. You should take a listen to #CB99Talks.